In the 1960s, Indian musician Ravi Shankar changed the course of music history. He introduced Western audiences to his instrument, the sitar, and opened the borders of Indian classical music. Today would have been Ravi Shankar's 100th birthday, and NPR's Bilal Qureshi has this appreciation.
The year was 1967, America's summer of love.
Now you will hear the concluding item.
When Ravi Shankar took the afternoon stage at the Monterey Pop Festival, filmmaker D.A. Pennebaker's cameras were rolling.
It just builds to this sort of ecstatic climax, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, it's an amazing scene. Even now, you feel the hairs on the back of your neck rising.
Shankar biographer Oliver Krask says the Monterey performance came at the peak of a psychedelic sunburst. In the late 60s, pop music was in love with the Far East and the Far Out. The Doors, the Rolling Stones, and most famously, of course, the Beatles were Ravi Shankar devotees. But Shankar rejected the lazy association of Indian music with ecstasy, as he explained in the documentary Raga.
I had to make them understand again and again that it has been passed down to us almost like a religion itself. And this has nothing to do with influence of any drugs.
His stardom was the product of a long journey, says Oliver Krask, whose biography Indian Sun is published today. Shankar began performing as a child with his brother's dance troupe. It took him to Paris, pre-war Germany, and the Cotton Club in New York.
It was a kind of education that no other Indian classical musician had. It made him completely comfortable with presenting Indian music to a global audience.
Shankar eventually turned away from pop festivals and took his music into concert halls. He recorded with violinist Yehudi Menuhin and composed with Philip Glass and Subin Mehta.
He definitely was somebody who really was always thinking about possibility.
Nitin Sawhney is an acclaimed British Indian composer who knew Ravi Shankar and says he was a trailblazer in the art of cultural crossings.
Panditji always recognized that every tradition is still dynamic to keep its relevance in contemporary society. And a lot of people interpret tradition as dogma. And that's very different to how he thought.
Shankar composed for films, orchestras, and the opera.
He kept going right till the end. He was still performing at 92.
Biographer Oliver Krask says in those last concerts, he was joined on stage by his daughter and student, Anushka Shankar.
It was just an incredible teaching because he would be improvising and then you never knew when he was going to let go of a line. And he'd also do this on purpose to challenge me as well. So he would literally sometimes play half a line and I would need to be able to catch it and play something that made sense authentically.
Ravi Shankar had a complicated personal life, but he eventually settled down into a happy second marriage and reconciled with his other daughter, Nora Jones.
He had these two daughters by different mothers on different continents. And okay, maybe he had a messy private life, but what a wonderful result that is to create two such wonderful musicians.
After their father died in 2012, Nora Jones and Anushka Shankar released a duet called The Sun Won't Set.
My dad's name, Ravi, translates as sun in Sanskrit. And so it was in those months where he wasn't well and I didn't quite feel ready to let go of him, you know, so I was just speaking about not wanting the sun to set yet. And it was beyond perfect to have Nora sing the words because as sisters, we're speaking about the same person.
The sun won't set.
Writer Oliver Krask says the song captures how Ravi Shankar's legacy lives on.
This sort of iconography of the sun was actually used quite a lot during his lifetime. And I really feel this, that the sun hasn't set yet. We still feel his influence. we're still drawn to his music, and that's something that I can cling on to with hope at a troubled time like this.
Bilal Qureshi, NPR News.